Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Elizabeth Dutton.
Zarin Burnett.
I love it when you're here.
Me, I love it when I'm here too.
I've been wandering around. I got this question in my head, and you're the only person I know who can answer it.
I'm here.
You know what that question is?
No.
Do you know what's ridiculous?
Yes.
Okay.
I do know what's ridiculous.
What is it, Elizabeth?
It's here.
I'm ridiculous?
The iconic tracksuit.
Wait, what?
You love tracksuits,
right?
I do.
You
wear
got
Adidas,
my full attention.
You wear Adidas tracksuits all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, you're wearing...
I'm wearing half of one now.
Half of one now. Okay, just the top half.
Top half.
No, nothing underneath.
Yeah, I'm not Porky Pig and like normal.
Okay, so you know who else makes an iconic tracksuit?
I don't know.
Give me a, who else?
Puma used to.
Le Coq Sportif did in the 80s.
Juicy Couture.
There it is.
Oh, wait, oh no.
There it is.
Oh, no.
They had like the velour ones,
yes,
right?
Yes,
So they have
is this
a collection.
About J-Lo?
Not really,
oh, okay.
Although she should be involved.
Is this about Ben Affleck? Is he doing one?
No, they have a limited edition set.
Uh-huh.
And it's a $169 tracksuit.
Okay.
And it's
so it's a lot for a tracksuit.
In a tomato red color.
Tomato red.
And it has the diamante detailing, the custom crystal diamante,
okay.
Like where it says it across your rump.
Okay.
Juicy.
Sure.
Although this
Gotta
time it
that.
Doesn't
That's
say
what
juicy.
I'm paying for.
Doesn't say juicy.
That's what I'm paying for, Elizabeth.
It says juicier.
Oh, juicy. Okay.
It's next level.
Okay. Yeah. Rebooted it. I got it.
And you know it's a mashup. You know it's a crossover.
God, is it?
Yeah.
Did it have to be?
Yeah.
What if we just stop here? It's so good so far.
So good. You know who they're working with?
No, I don't want to.
Red Robin.
No.
It's the Red Robin Juicy Couture mashup.
Uh-huh.
You can only buy them on the Red Robin Instagram shop. $169,
uh-huh.
as I said.
Uh-huh.
No, all sales are final. No returns or exchanges.
You know why?
Because you'll never buy another
They're
piece
so
of clothing.
They're so glad you took it. They're like, here, that's it. No, it, that's the deal. It's
it
yours
has
now.
Juicier.
No tag backs.
Juicier on the caboose.
Yes.
And then up on the breasticle area,
Breasticles,
it says... Red Robin
okay.
in rhinestones.
Oh, God.
And I want all tracking information. Oh, I think it also has that on their hip. They're not very good about showing like full pictures of these tracksuits.
So they just show the butt and the chesticles?
Yeah. And it says juicier on the back, I mm-hmm. think, too. Whatever. And mm-hmm. so anyway, I want a full list of everyone who purchases this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be my special watch list.
It's your no fly
yeah.
list.
And,
but for
you know,
just watch
just
them.
Keep an eye on these little... Goofballs.
How did you hear about these?
Do
you have like a newsletter? Do you go to Reddit? What do you...
We have the most amazing network.
Oh, it's more people who...
Of rude dudes.
Uh-huh.
Who, you know, they clue us in. They
uh-huh.
let us know. This one came off of Instagram, I think it was. Yeah, and it came from Esther Faith.
Thanks, Esther.
It up. She wanted... to know what our budget was because she wanted Dave. She said, look, I screen capped this.
Sure.
What's the budget for Dave to take this one and get both of them a set? I bet Elizabeth would say she hates it, but actually love it.
You do
well, listen,
spot
girl,
on.
I totally would. I love cozy things. This is probably cozy, although I feel like I like breathable fabrics. I don't really wear synthetics, and I feel like that would make me feel like I was going to choke to death.
I'd trade mine for a ride to Stockton.
I think you get a free ride to Stockton when you have, you know, that's where the, do it for the clubs, Aaron.
Yeah, of course. You know I'm going to do it for the club.
Okay, and I'm done.
Well, that's ridiculous, Elizabeth.
Yes, it
you know what's
is.
Also
you.
Ridiculous?
Tell me.
You got a second? It's going to take me longer than a second.
Yeah, do
okay.
it. Do it. I dare
Elizabeth,
you.
This is the story of your people.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Special investigators.
Oh, I was like, that could be a lot of groups.
Like that, I left that pause for you to fill in. Like, what kind of my people? Okay, it's 1983, mm-hmm. right? And one of the most wanted men in Europe was a 35-year-old millionaire playboy, a Danish actor, a man known as a master of disguises. They called him the rubber-faced man.
Yes. My people.
Right? His criminal co-ringleader and mastermind was a wealthy son of the Royal Navy.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
And both men were brought down by your people, a bunch of nosy Welsh lobstermen and farmers' wives.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Enjoy. This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
Yes. Yes, it is.
See, that's es verdad. Now, this, Elizabeth, is the story of the drug baron, as I'm calling him, okay. and the rubber-faced man.
Wait, you're going to tell a story about drugs?
I know, right? It was shocking.
I've never heard such a thing.
I swear to God, I was not looking for a drug story. I was looking for a story of, like, about like a master of disguise, and I found the rubber-faced man, and I was so excited. And I was like, what's he doing? They're like, drug smuggling. I was like, ah, darn it.
You heard the word cocaine, and you're like, oh, yes.
Well, this one's more than just cocaine, and Pablo Escobar will make no more appearances after me saying his name right now.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay. So the co-ring leaders were two men, Søren Berg Arnbach. He's the Dane.
Yeah.
And Robin Boswell. He's the Brit. Now, Boswell, as you might, guess, the Englishman. Okay. So he's from London, and for a living, he was, quote, the mastermind of the drugs ring in London proper. He was known to be, quote, ingenious, intelligent, and determined.
Mm.
Could you get a little picture of him?
Not really.
No, okay. Now, Boswell, son of a wealthy English family, as I told you, his father, Royal Navy officer.
Okay.
Right? So he's, you would imagine some level of discipline and upright, forthright, stiff upper lip.
A lot of swabbing of the deck.
Yes, exactly. A lot of whistles. Now, for schooling.
Peacoats for days.
Nice, sharp look,
Yeah,
though.
With the collars turned up.
Popped up like
you
mean it.
Looking out at London fog.
Yeah, wistful. What are you, like Dylan Thomas over here now? You got to make it poetic. Anyway, this cat.
Swabbing.
Attended the ultra-exclusive Marlborough School.
Mm.
You know, it's like one of the private schools, like
Eton,
I guess.
That's where they make them roll the cigarettes.
Yeah, they teach them to roll smokes.
Uh-huh.
So after that, he went to university, and he was really good at rolling smokes. So he said, why don't you study biology? So he did. And then after graduation, he went off to see the world because he's rich. He's like, I'm going to go and mess about. And so he goes and, he travels widely, extensively. Then he comes back, and he's like, oh, that was amazing, world-changing. I'm going to go settle down, buys a place in Notting Hill.
Wow.
No, but that time, Notting Hill was basically London's Haight-Ashbury
district.
Yeah, no. Right?
Wait, so, what year is this?
1983. Well, this is the 70s.
Okay,
at this point, for him, it's like the
70s.
Like, late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, that's like a cool little place to, must be nice to go and travel the world and then come back and buy a place.
Yeah, not just that, but one in a known drug scene, or you're like, I can hang out with all my friends. I don't have to go anywhere. They can come right here. They're down the street. So basically, my point is, this is before Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant,
right.
Before they made it like such a popular scene with their movie of the same name.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, think seedy, right? Seedy drugs. Anyway,
okay.
Boswell, he had the demeanor of the ultra wealthy in the UK, so he was like kind of slumming it and sleazing it. But also, he had the worst of that demeanor of the ultra wealthy in the UK, as in, he was haughty.
Had no lips.
Not physically, demeanor, Elizabeth. He was haughty. He, quote, was evidently used to having his own way. So he was a spoiled brat, right?
Yeah.
He was tall, slim, rather fine-boned. He wasn't a rough and rugged athlete, so you weren't going to, like, catch him winning respect on the football pitch. This was somebody who was, quote, an accomplished yachtsman. right? So he was somewhat of a, you know, an outdoorsman, I guess. And he, quote, lacked nothing in poise. Huh. So we're starting to get a little picture of him, maybe,
yeah, those,
a little bit.
Those underpants, the lady diapers.
I'm unfamiliar with this product. Is that a mashup? I don't know this one. But basically, this guy, he's a rich kid from old money. He likes boats. He likes acting superior to others. He wouldn't be much in a fight, but he would pay someone to beat you up, right?
Well, you know,
okay, so that's Robin Boswell.
Yeah.
Now, there's co-conspirator Soren Berg Arnbach. He was known as the rubber face man, right? Our Danish master of disguise. Now, as a young man, Berg Arnbach, he had been an actor, but by the time he's 35, he was now basically a knockabout playboy.
Okay.
Now, when I say knockabout playboy, Elizabeth, I mean this cat bought himself a castle near the Italian port city of Genoa. He also owned a palatial villa in Switzerland. Dude was living clean.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he was also one of Europe's most wanted drug smugglers. So
that's how
he was paying for it.
I see, so it's not like old money. Okay.
And he'd been on the run for a decade.
Oof.
Thus his nickname, the Master of Disguise. That was not from his acting days. So
I thought maybe he was like an early Jim Carrey rubber-faced man.
No, it was more like he wore rubber face masks.
Oh, like literal rubber. Oh.
He had to get on a boat and get the hell out of there.
I thought he just would like make a crazy face trying to get through customs.
Just try to hold it. Like,
are you part dinosaur? He's all right. Yeah, and they're like, oh, you.
No, like you know your old man mask you scare me with occasionally?
Yes.
The full face mask?
Yes.
Imagine that if it was done well.
That's fantastic.
And not horrifying. Anyway, so the rubber face man, that's his nickname, right?
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like a 1930s horror film? Like one with a comedy
yes.
duo? Abbott and Costello meet the rubber face man?
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, back to our Danish narco trafficker, Soren Berg Arnbach.
Mm-hmm.
He'd personally seen the dangers of illicit drug use, right? This cat had lost a brother to a heroin overdose.
And he goes around selling drugs?
Didn't stop him at all. He goes full in on drug smuggling. He's like, you know, it hurt my family. It probably hurt other families, but I love castles.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that's why he became a narco baron, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Also, he also loved yachts.
Uh-huh.
He happened to be, and when I say yachts, I don't mean like big boats. I mean like, I want you to picture him on a ship, right? A ship that was, quote, bigger but otherwise identical version of the Danish royal yacht with an onboard chef who hosted Denmark's most popular televised cookery program.
So he's not like Guy Fieri.
Yes, on his boat.
On his boat.
Palling around with him, like doing blow in the Seychelles.
So like the equivalent, the Santa Rosa equivalent is like a tugboat with Guy Fieri behind the grill.
Why has it got to be a tugboat, Elizabeth?
I like tugboats.
They are cute. So yeah. Soren Berg Arnbach, he wanted that kind of life, right? So this typically only comes from crime or great talent.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have great talent,
so
he went with crime. Now, that's how you afford a castle in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So the Danish authorities, they catch up to this cat because he's not necessarily good at it. Berg Arnbach, he has to go on the run. And as I told you, that lasted for a decade. So it means he also ran into trouble with the Swiss because, you know, Europe was pretty much...
Why not?
The Interpol kind of like red notice, like, you're in trouble in Italy, you're in trouble over here too, right?
Got
so
it.
That means he loses access to his palatial villa. He had to give up living in his Italian castle near Genoa. Life of a wanted man, Elizabeth. It sucks. He goes fully on the lam. Stayed outside the law. 10 years. Where would you go if you had to give up everything? And you have money, right? So you can pick something. Where would you go?
Would I go?
Yeah, you got to live with the life on the lam. You don't want to get caught.
And I don't want to get caught. Uh-huh. If you go to too rural of an area, everyone's suspicious of you.
Well, here, I'll give you some time to think.
Yeah.
Here's my answer.
I
would go and hide out by becoming a cop in a small town in Florida. Because who would ever think to look for me amongst a bunch of cops?
That's a really, really good plan for you.
Totally.
It's
brilliant.
A very good
plan. And I got to be in Florida. It's kind of nice. Maybe I pick a town with good fishing. Who knows?
Okay.
What about you? I can surf in the morning, go be a cop in the afternoon.
I don't know. I guess I have to stick in the United States so I don't stand out too much.
That's my problem, yeah.
And I have money?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd go somewhere where everyone's really eccentric and wants to be left alone. Bolinas, California.
That's good.
In the,
I like
just
that.
Just above the Marin Headlands.
Uh-huh.
They're notorious for like, they in Bolinas, they take the signs down, like the wayfinding signs
to
tell you like Bolinas is here.
This is Bolinas and this is the name of
this
road.
Yeah, with the arrow, they take it down and like, it's very rarely do properties come on the market. And so I'd buy my way in there.
Aren't you worried that those people might might be a little suspicious of an outsider?
Not when I have a meeting in town and I gather them together and I tell them what I'm doing and why.
Then they decide
and
with
I
the outlaw.
And I win them over and then they decide to protect
me.
You're
like, look, I'm on the run.
I walk in with my crew of like wolves and bears and assorted dogs and I'm like, look, guys.
I'll pay all your house taxes for a year if you guys just let me join the community.
Totally.
Keep
totally.
Hush. Cool? We cool?
Yeah. Exactly.
And by the way, call me Regina.
That's now, there it is.
So Berg Armbach, he decides, I'm going to go live the life of a divorced dad. He decides to live on a boat. He's like, he get not some stinky 30-foot sailboat in the marina, Elizabeth. Uh-huh. No, he lives on an enormous yacht that's bigger than the Royal Danish yacht, right? So, of course, he would eventually get caught on that. So he's like, okay, this isn't going to last. I need to go somewhere deep. I need to take this boat life onto land. So where does he go? I need to go somewhere like I said. I'm going to hide where no one would look.
Yeah.
He decided to relocate to Wales, a fishing village in Wales.
Huh.
He's like, who would ever look for me, a Danish drug smuggler, in a tiny fishing village in Wales? So he picked a county in the southwest of Wales, a place called Pembrokeshire. I may be pronouncing that incorrectly.
Probably Pembrokeshire.
There you go. Now, the rubber-faced man thought he could hole up there, and I said, hide out in a rural, coastal, out-of-the-way Welsh town. And, you know, he just keep right on drug smuggling the heroin and the hash and the bales of marijuana that he'd been moving. That was also part of his plan. He wasn't going to give up his business.
Okay.
So for a partner, he picked Robin Boswell. Smart choice, right? Boswell, he's a
He'll fit right in a Welsh fishing village.
He's English, Elizabeth. He knows this stuff. He's rich.
Not
he's haughty.
The same thing.
Exactly. But this guy's like, it'll work. What's an Englishman to a Welshman? They're probably practically. Misses the boat on that one.
Wow.
So according to the book, Drug War by Peter Welsh, no relation to the country, Robin Boswell, quote, never gave his name over phone lines, used false identities when dealing with strangers, held at least 8 passports. He kept his possessions under aliases or in the names of friends, and anyone trying to trace him came up against a bewildering morass of shell companies, accommodation offices, hotels, shops, and non-existent addresses. So this guy, as they call him, is the nowhere man.
Yeah.
That's Robin Boswell, the rich Englishman. He's basically erased himself from record.
Okay.
Which isn't easy when you're rich, but he manages it, you know, because he's dedicated.
Yeah.
He's like, I really want to get into crime.
Yeah.
Now he's got his buddy who's on the run, who's looking to stay out of the sights of the authorities. He's like, that guy is figuring it out. I'm going to go partner with him.
Yeah.
Seems like, you know, that's a great choice, right? No. Because
they're
on this show. But Boswell, he was a man of a particular habit, and that habit was not getting caught. As I told you, he had family money to shield his activities. He used old money tactics like shell companies for a layer of protection.
Yeah.
He's keen to invest in massive profits into his real estate portfolio. Always smart when you're a criminal on the make. So not only did he buy a place in Notting Hill, he also bought a whole block of apartment buildings. He also owned a 26-bedroom building near some place called Guildford. It's an English town in Surrey.
Uh-huh.
Now, the last time I spoke on English geography, I made a mistake in how I referenced Surrey, all right?
Right.
So, mea culpa Britannia, all right? So, let me get this one all the way right. Guildford in West Surrey is an English town, Elizabeth. It's roughly 27 miles south and west of London. The name of the town, it's speculated, derives from the local River Wey and a crossing of that river. The River Wey, Elizabeth, continues on to join the River Thames, which runs through the quaint center of Guildford.
Wow.
Yeah, fun fact, yo. Producer Dave, your man, Alfred the Great, he mentioned Guildford in his will.
Whoa. Shout out Last Kingdom. Shout out Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
Now, Robin Boswell owned a stately 26-room building in lovely Guildford.
Yes.
The building wasn't in downtown. It wasn't an apartment building. Nope, it was set on acres, the kind of acres that feature gardens and surrounding woods. He probably had like a maze built of super tall hedges.
Oh, it's like some Downton Abbey-ish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know how much he paid for that spot?
$5.
Practically. Back to the Drug War, the book by Welsh. Boswell bought the palatial home for, and I quote, £250,000 in cash, a yacht, dinghies, and numerous vehicles.
Oh, he just threw in all that.
So I'm assuming the original owner wasn't some landed Englishman like the fourth Earl of Yardstick upon Acorns or whatever.
Well, maybe. And they'd hit hard times. They're like, yeah, I'll take a...
Yeah.
Take a land cruiser.
That's true. And he's like,
boat.
I'll take a boat. I want to go over to France or whatever. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So the policeman who eventually chased down the international drug smugglers, he described Boswell, quote, as an almost unknown quantity on the fringe of a number of drug smuggling operations, but never in the net. So this dude, he'd brushed up against the police and their attention in particular a number of times. And there was this one time he was suspected of smuggling in a 1 million pounds, and that's sterling, of hash in from Kathmandu in Nepal.
Oh.
They're like, oh, we think it's him. But they somehow let this 1 million pounds worth of hash slip through their fingers. Anyway, there was talk of Boswell being also, quote, a client of Lebanon's infamous Jafar clan. So he was like in deep, right? Apparently in the hash trade. But none of this talk leads to an investigation or a bust. By the end of the 70s, the dude draws attention because he has more than one passport. They find that kind of suspicious, right? So plus his banking records, also a little hinky. In 1976, dude raises eyebrows when he converted $500,000 in Canadian dollars, aka loonies, and had the bank give him converted amount in Swiss francs. They're like, why do you want this in England? He's like, don't worry about that. Now, the real suspicious part is how he went to a series of different banks and then attempted to deflect attention. You know, he obviously did the opposite. He caught attention.
Exactly.
So no criminal charges came of any of that, right? What saved him is that the drugs he smuggled mostly went to North America. So the English were like, what does it matter? Really? Let them eat their souls or whatever. So one day around 1978 or 1979, he gets involved with Soren Berg Arnbach, the rubber-faced man. They would go on to make a fabulously wealthy life together and then ruin each other's lives.
Oh.
Yeah, let's take a little break, Elizabeth. And after some ads, we'll talk about more about the drug baron and the rubber-faced man.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back.
Hi.
You still wearing the same pants, huh? Okay.
Nope.
Well, whatever. Elizabeth, you remember when I mentioned, what'd you call it, Pembrokeshire?
Yeah.
Okay. In the southeast coast of Wales?
Yes.
There's a spot called Seal Bay.
Okay.
That's where our story takes place.
Hmm.
Boswell, the drug baron, and Berg Arnbach, the rubber-faced man, the Danish master of disguise, right? So they go into business together. They come up with a scheme to import drugs into the rough and rugged Welsh coast, because that way, you know, Berg Arnbach can continue working.
Yeah.
So they engineer a hell of a smuggling hole. They use two beaches in Seal Bay, right? One beach, they drop all kinds of time, and they just plundered and spent money to dig into the earth just past the high water line, right? And they dig in at the mouth of a cave, and then they dig straight down and they hollow out this huge cavernous underground chamber. The walls, they line with fiberglass. The chamber was hidden from view by the natural elements, obviously, because it's basically just a cave on the rugged coast. Who would look there? And it's also, you know, this coast is pockmarked with caves. So on the other beach, they hid a small navy of dinghies and inflatable Zodiac-style boats.
Mm-hmm.
So this is so they can make runs to ferry drugs from yachts and small ships that come, right? And then they take them back to their pirate cave.
Yeah.
Now, Elizabeth, you know, I love that show Black Sails.
I know you love that show Black Sails.
Right? You'll come into, like, RC headquarters, and I'll be watching another episode.
Yet another.
And you or one of the interns gives me that annoyed look when you hear that intro song piping to life. And you're like, again, huh? Well, I want you to know, I learned a lot from that show.
I know you probably have.
For instance, I know that if you're going to hide things in a cave, there are inherent risks with that.
I would imagine. I mean,
it can work brilliantly. No, don't get me wrong. It can. Like, obviously, if you plan to bring boats close to shore, there's going to be problems with that part of it, right?
Right.
Under the cover of darkness, that also adds an element. If you're there to offload goods, another element of danger because you don't want to lose your goods.
Right.
But if you got a hardy crew, it can be done. Pirates did it back in the day.
Yeah, but also you talked about the high water mark. That's like an average high water mark.
There you go. There's
storms.
The sea is not consistent.
No, she is not.
The sea is a harsh, unforgiving mistress.
Yes.
Yes, and she will turn on you when you least expect it. Never turn your back on the ocean.
That's the truth.
In 1982, in the autumn month of November, a ship smuggling bales of pot came in to offload some contraband, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, some of the marijuana gets lost in the rough seas. 40 kilos of pot gets lost. That's about 88 pounds of jazz cabbage just washing onto the coast of Wales.
Oh, boy.
Now, you see, Elizabeth, as the sea taketh away, so doth the sea giveth somewhere else down the coast.
Right. This is like those Garfield phones that washed up on the
shore. The rubber duckies in the Pacific on the Oregon coast.
Yeah.
The pot, equally buoyant. And so, like, rubber duckies bobs along, and the bales wash ashore in a place called Newport.
Okay.
Right? The locals, confused by this sudden gift of 88 pounds of pot from the sea, so the local authorities are called to look into this. They're like, what's going on? Is it the French? What's going on? So 1 month later, Boswell, he deposits 750,000 pounds sterling into a bank on the Isle of Man. He just walks into the bank with two suitcases, and inside the two suitcases is 757,000 pounds sterling.
Never suspicious.
Yeah, in notes, in cash, right? So Boswell, he's been now making some small mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? He's getting sloppy. He's losing bales of pot. He's walking in with briefcases of cash. So it was only a matter of time until the drug baron and his buddy, the rubber-faced man, were both doing something that they had not been doing for a decade, which is getting caught.
Yeah.
All right. So it wasn't exactly their fault, though, when it did start to go wrong. It was their men. You see, they had brought their men with them to this small Welsh fishing village.
Yeah.
Well, imagine how some hard men who are used to international drug smuggling are doing down at the pub. And this town has like 4,000 people.
Oh, it's small.
It's small, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It has like, it's separated down to the fishing village part. And then up the road, a really steep road, is the new modern section of town.
Right.
So if you have any money, you live on the hill. And everybody who works in the water and around the water.
So everybody knows everybody.
Exactly.
And, oh my gosh, yeah.
So in June 1983, local police were alerted after a bunch of men were described by the locals as, quote, a gang, and they kept dropping big bills in the local pub. And by big bills, I mean 50-pound notes. They're like, who's got all the money over
that's
here?
That's unusual.
Exactly. So Sue Warner, that was a young woman at the time. She lived on the family farm near Newport, and she recalled how, quote, there were guys staying in Dynas Cross and spending an awful lot of money, paying for drinks with 50-pound notes and lots of partying going on, lots of money and nice big cars. People just started to put things together. Now, I know that's not a Welsh accent. I can't do a Welsh accent, right?
So there you go. Don't bother.
I'm not going to. Elizabeth, you spent considerable time in Scotland. Right?
Uh-huh.
I've never been to Scotland, but I have been to England, and I've spent some time in Wales.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that based on your time in Scotland, you, like me, aren't surprised that these locals were suspicious of outsiders.
Not in the least.
Right? I mean, this is like, it's par for the course from what I understand.
Well, I've lived in a small town in the United States, I can tell you. Like, outsiders come in and then radar goes up.
What do you think they started doing next? Once the radar goes up?
I'd keep in track of them.
There you go. What would you do? They start surveilling them, right? So they start snooping on them Elizabeth style. And Sue, back to Sue Warner, our young local farm girl.
So one night my dad decided to camp up on the cliff top with neighbors. They found two men sleeping close to the side of where the gang were planning on keeping the drugs. And then things started to unravel.
So now they got men camping on the hilltop watching them offload drugs.
Especially because it's not just like, who's this new family? They're a little weird.
Yeah.
This is like, these are criminals.
Yeah, who look rough and they don't wear like sweaters.
And we've all seen those kind of like Jason Statham movies. Yes, you don't want exactly. to shoot out in the main town with cars driving over sidewalks and the whatnots.
Don't need
Keep that to yourselves.
Take that back to Guilford.
Yeah, we don't do that here.
So, okay. These landlubbers were not the only ones who were suspicious. The fishermen and the lobstermen who worked the craggy coastline.
Oh, yeah.
They'd started watching these yachts and these boats come in close to the shore and offload something into smaller dinghies and then the Zodiac-style inflatable boats, right? So they get nervous that these guys are trying to, like, poach their catch.
Yeah.
They're like, wait a minute, we got competition, right? Is it the French? Anyway, so they contact the local authorities, and they're worried about these men who are working at night, and they think they're trying to, they're poachers, right? So they tell the cops, like, you got to watch these guys. And then some of the lobstermen, like, we'll handle it ourselves. So they go down and they confront the men on the beaches who are offloading the bales of pot.
Oh, wow.
And they ask the men, what are you doing in Wales, right? And so the drug smugglers, they're like, oh, calm down. No, we're not from here. They're like, yeah, we know that. What are you doing? Like, we're filming a documentary, you know, a nature movie. Everybody loves nature movies, right?
No.
They tell them, yeah, our movie is about seals and whales and stuff and the ocean. And like, we're planning on filming in Greenland. So we're practicing offloading and loading up equipment for the documentary. We take to get really good at this because we're going to be in a rural place. And the guys are like, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. So basically, the local fishermen, the lobstermen, you know, like they're like, that's a festering pack of lies, right?
Yeah.
I'm not buying a single bit of that. Like, trust me, mate, I'm a fisherman. I know when something is fiscally unsound. Now, you thought I was going to say fishy, didn't you? No.
Yeah, I did.
Elizabeth, fishermen know how to be fiscally sound. They have to be. If they're going to make it, and a documentary crew practicing for months to offload equipment is hinky and not fiscally sound.
No, it's not.
Anyway, the locals, they go to their Dyfed Powys. I may be pronouncing that incorrectly.
Probably.
Apologies, Welsh. But it's Dyfed Powys.
Okay.
That place, their police department, and reported what all they'd seen, right? And what the men on the beaches and the boats and the yachts were actually doing was to prepare the Pirate Cove for a major load that was coming in on a consignment sale. It wasn't even their dope.
Oh, you're kidding.
They're going to like, oh, we got this great thing running in Wales. Just give us your big load, then we'll offload it for you and be the connect.
God.
Yeah, high stakes deal. Enter DCI Don Evans of Dyfed Powys Police. Now, DCI Evans led the investigation, which was dubbed Operation Seal Bay. Really imaginative title, right? Anyway, the cops, they get to work. And he wasn't alone, Elizabeth. You see, he didn't call in some crack team of investigators. He didn't establish some war room to catch these drug smugglers. Nope, not him. Instead, he knew he had all the local amateur talent he needed.
Yeah.
Your people, nosy, busy bodies who say things like, I just want to take a look and see what they're doing over there.
Yes.
Right? Your people. So
yes.
DCI Evans, he knew, with my special army of special investigators, I can get this task done. So he went out and he spoke with them. And DCI Don Evans, he told the press, quote, these villains totally underestimated the local people and how observant they were. In all, we took 540 statements from people living in the area. There's like 3,800 people.
Yeah.
So pretty much every seventh person's like, oh, I got something. Some of these people are children. So obviously you discount the children, the people who are like housebound. They don't leave. They don't have. Almost every adult had something to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the police, they follow the clues from the 540 witness statements. They determine a zone of interest to investigate. They're like, pretty much centered around these two beaches. Then the cops go out and they walk the coastline, searching through the sand, the pebbles for signs of drug smugglers. They also have like people with them, like you, who are like, right over here. Look right there, right? There's this one farmer. He leads a pair of officers over to the mouth of a cave. And he wanted to show them what he'd found. He's like, no, but you got to see what I found. It's very important, right? So he drags them over there. He picks up a stone and he tosses it into the cave. They're like, what are you doing, old man? And he's all of a sudden, it doesn't make the expected sound anybody would think that a stone going into a cave would make. Instead, you hear this really large, hollow-sounding metal, ting, kind of like, yeah, they're like, wait a minute. And even the police are curious, so they investigate the ground. They start pushing around. They push back sand. They move pebbles and everything out of their way. Boom, they find something. What do they find, Elizabeth? A hatch, like a submarine kind of hatch, right? The cops, they twist the handle and they open the hatch. They can't see the bottom. The farmer grabs another stone. He's like, watch this, chucks it in there. Once again, it takes a while to hit the bottom, but when it does, it rings. They're like, wait a minute. They go down, they climb in. It's an enormous subterranean chamber. The police climb in and find all sorts of stuff in this hidden drug smuggling bunker.
Wow.
DCI Don Evans said, quote, it had obviously been a long time to build. It was held up with timber and totally lined with fiberglass resin. It would have taken ages to dig out the sand and rock and build, and they would have had brought all the materials in by boat.
Wow.
So yeah, like you're building. Like
when you were talking about fiberglass earlier, I was like, did they just like bring a camper shell and like shove it in a cave and I don't
force
know.
It into the earth? Now, no, they dug a huge cave hole for themselves under a cave and then
wow,
plastered it all in essentially. Now the police, they go and they find all of the equipment that you would need for a modern professional drug smuggling operation, right? Yeah. For instance, the cops discovered, quote, a gargantuan inflatable that could carry 24 men and 6 tons of equipment, powered by a 235 horsepower outboard motor.
Wow.
The chamber was large enough that an average sized man could stand up at full extension comfortably.
Huh.
Yeah, and since this is 1983, the local Welsh police did not immediately assume this was international drug smuggling. Instead, they're like, IRA.
Right.
This is IRA. This is a weapons cache. Right, so they assume with all these, you know, this would be a brilliant place to launch an attack on the English coast side. So they're like, no one would see it coming from Wales. Anyway, they did notice, though, some cops like, wait, what? Remember the 88 pounds of pot that washed up down the shore? Yeah. Do you think that might be related? And somebody's like, oh, that's a good point. Way to go, DCI Bob. Now, all the reports of offloading of larger boats and yachts and so forth, it filters in and they go, okay, balance that against the IRA gun running. Okay, probably drugs. And they give up on the IRA gun running, right? And the police investigate. And then as they're investigating, that big load that I told you before that they were planning for, it comes in. And when it arrives on a 75-foot fishing trawler named Minnow.
Okay.
And Elizabeth, on that night, the seas were stormy and pitched, the ocean angry, like an Irishman who's been mistaken for an Englishman. Now, in those dangerous and storm-wrecked seas came this fishing trawler. No fisherman in his right mind would be out there in those waters at night, right? So that alone makes it suspicious, right? Then they get close to the rocky shores. They're like, are they an idiot or is this like a criminal? And they're like, it's definitely criminals because they also, I forgot to mention, hurricane force winds.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like it's pushing the boat around like a child's toy, right? Yeah. So the drug smugglers are fighting against the sea, fighting against the winds, trying to deliver their load to shore. They've got 80 bales of pot loaded onto 2 Zodiac-style boats. That's what they manage. That's the progress they manage before things go afoul. The ropes tying the boats to the fishing trawler, they give way in the storm. The sea's iron froth takes the boats, flips them. They're heavily overloaded with pot, right? So it's easy to flip.
Yeah.
They flip. Now they've got 80 bales of pot sprinkled into the ocean.
Oh, God.
So that's just, it's like rubber duckies. Just imagine. Anyway, so along with all this snoop spinach, the smugglers also watched a couple of them overseas, right? So now we got people in the water.
Right.
So the police are like, oh, criminy, do we need to save them? But we're undercover. We can't go and save them. It'll blow our cover, right? So they're trying to decide what they should do. They decide, we got to reveal our investigation.
Yeah.
So the cops watching this beach, they rush out. They decide to do the right thing. DCI Ron Davies, he was on a 12-hour shift out there in the cold and the wet and the dark of that night. He remembers the decision that they tried to make about should we save the drug smugglers or not.
That's so crazy.
And I quote, when the dinghies broke free, we had to break cover and rescue the gang members that were in the sea. When rescued, both were in a poor condition, and there's no doubt in my mind that they were left to drown. The crew of the boat made no attempt whatsoever to rescue them. They were regarded as being expendable.
Aww.
Yeah, so the police were like, we can't have that. All right, let's go save the underlings. Who wants to grab some henchmen? So they go out there, and then a couple other beachcombing cops, they grab a couple guys who get washed ashore. All in all, the cops now, they also try to run and gun and grab the actual boat. They're like, maybe we can catch the minnow, right? Also, they go racing off to London because they've been told by the guys they captured some names. So the cops just start scattering, trying to, you know, take these leads and do whatever they can, right? So as I told you, the minnow is starting to get away as the cops are headed to London to grab people who are in homes who don't know what's going to happen because they don't have cell phones. They can't be warned, right?
Right.
But they also have to call to the RAF. They're like, launch a helicopter.
Yeah.
So the RAF's like, oh, blimey, let's do it, right? So they send out a helicopter to chase this fishing trawler, the minnow.
The minnow, wasn't that the Gilligan's Island?
Yes, good.
Yeah, three-hour tour.
This is a French one because it ends in a U.
The minnow.
Minnow, yes, exactly.
So
the RAF, they launch a Sea King helicopter. It's a big helicopter. It doesn't matter. And so, yeah, so imagine a big long daddy in the air going,
I got a visual on it.
So it's giving chase, right? And the fishing trawler, imagine like a big 75-foot like a boat you tee off the coast of Alaska, right?
Okay.
So that thing's just hauling as fast as it can, but it can't go that fast. But it manages to slip away in the night because it's that foggy and dark. The helicopter cannot find it.
And the weather's so terrible.
Totally, and weather's absolutely terrible. It does manage to get spotted the next day at Cork Harbor in Ireland. So it powered over the...
Yeah. It went that way.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. So that same night, though, Robin Boswell doesn't know any of this is going down, and so he gets arrested. When he does see cops coming for him, he tries to make a run for it.
Yeah.
Or so it seems, because two young boys and their mother spotted him and they phoned the police. So he's like out in the town, like, just walking along. The cops would catch up to him easily.
See, I'm like of a mind where everyone should just mind their own business, except for, you know, there are times when under discretion you realize, no, I can't mind my own business.
Well, you keep saying it, your own business. This town is
their business.
That is their business. There you go.
Thank you.
So they're minding their own business.
Thank you. Good definition.
Anyway, DCI Evans, he recalled how, quote, Robin Boswell was arrested, a man who gave us 17 false names and addresses. He was a mystery man and clearly not up to any good. It transpired after arresting Boswell that he wasn't going to tell us anything. So these poor cops, they're up against it, right? So, of course, to a veteran cop like DCI Evans, this is no real big surprise, but he was kind of hoping maybe they'd be, you know, forthright.
Yeah.
However, as he put it later on, but what was unique, he was wearing walking boots with specks of fiberglass resin. So now, boom, they've connected him to the crime.
Oh, he's got all CSI on him.
Yeah, exactly. Oops, well, the fiberglass gave me away. As DCI Evans puts it, quote, we thought that's what we needed to link him to the bunker at the cave, right? So now they've got DCI Evans. Now, however, Boswell's still denying that he was the man they were looking for. So instead, he insisted he was an innocent property developer who happened to be out on a walk looking for new investments.
Just a poor property
on
developer.
On a rainy, stormy night.
That's when you do it. You wait for the very... Well, because you want to see it under its worst conditions.
Exactly. I want to see if there's any rain damage that's happening right now.
Yeah.
So the cops were like, that's a cute story. You have any others? So his co-conspirator, Elizabeth, the rubber-faced man, what's up with him? He's still on the run,
yeah,
right?
Where we assume. Is he?
Well, let's take a little break. Okay. And after that, I'll tell you about Soren Berg Ahnbach, a.k.a. our master of disguise.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Elizabeth.
Yes, Zarin.
We're back.
Hi.
I promised you a manhunt.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you ready to get stupid
Where's
with it?
Where's Soren?
Yes, where is the rubber-faced man?
Bring me the rubber-faced man.
Okay, are you really, really ready, ready?
I'm ready, ready.
Now, if you're that ready, I'd like you to close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
I'd like you to picture it.
Aye, Cap.
Elizabeth, you are a bobby. An English copper. Johnny Law in the land of lords and ladies. You're a member of the flying squad.
Oh, my God, yes.
DCI Dutton.
You've
been
made
sent
it.
To investigate as part of a multi-agency task force. The flying squad sent out their best, which is you. At the moment, you're near the Welsh coastal town of Fishguard. It's a brisk night. A stiff wind chops at the waves and blows a cold, wet breeze on shore. A storm is a-brewing. You can tell. You're a good detective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Welsh, the town is called Abergwan, which means the mouth of the River Gwan. It's a tiny hamlet, a fishing village, situated in a deep V in the hills that runs down to the coast. There's not much to this town. Their main business district is called High Street. There's a parish church, and that's about it. There are 3,200 souls that call Fishguard home. You've learned from the locals that there was a 1955 film version of Moby Dick starring Gregory Peck that was shot in Fishguard.
Huh.
Right? The locale, it's idyllic if you want to imitate New England or, you know, show the reality of the rough and rural coast of Wales. Anyway, a manhunt is underway. You are a crack member of the Flying Squad, sent out here, as I told you, from London, and you always find your man. You're like Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive, only you have an English accent. And unlike Mr. Tommy Lee Jones, you do care. Your police radio crackles and sounds. A pair of bobbies has spotted a man with a rucksack heading out of town. You hoof it. You run. Your feet slap at cobblestones as you race against the wind, which is now growing quite blustery. Then you see something, or rather someone, walking along a fence. You spy the stranger with the rucksack. You call out to him, "You there, stop!" The stranger is the rubber-faced man, Soren Berg Onnerbach. He looks back, takes one good eyeful of you, and then turns and sprints in the other direction. Berg Onnerbach is in good shape for a middle-aged drug smuggler. He tosses his rucksack, hops a low fence, and sprints across the fields. You radio in his position and his direction of escape. Then you hop the low fence, splash down in a mess of fresh mud. You regain your footing and chase after the rubber-faced man. He's running at full speed. He approaches the edge of the farmer's field. There's a line of hedges standing low and squat like a thick, leafy fence. The rubber-faced man heads for the hedges. When he draws closer, he spies the barbed wire fence that runs along the hedges. At full stride, the rubber-faced man leaps up and over the hedgerow and the barbed wire fence. You are also at full pace, charging after him. The rubber-faced man disappears over the hedges. You lose sight of him. In a moment, you're at the hedges. You pull up, though, uncertain if you want to go leaping into the unknown. You look over the hedges, and thank God you did. You spy on the other side a sheer drop 70 feet straight down into a quarry.
Oh.
Then you hear some dirt and soil shift. Pebbles come loose. That's followed by grunts and the sound of a man desperate not to die. Help! He shouts. You look over, and you spy the rubber-faced man hanging there off the side of the cliff, clutching at a thick, exposed tree root. The cliff face runs below him. You tell them to stay calm and you'll radio back to the other coppers in the manhunt. You tell them where you are and who you've got trapped hanging above the quarry. The tree root is strong, but not strong enough. As you direct the cops to the bottom of the quarry, you hear the snap. Your head spins fast and you catch sight of the rubber-faced man as he falls and plummets into the quarry. Luckily for him, he hits the sloping cliff face and he bounces and rolls harmlessly down the quarry wall until he comes to a rest at the bottom of the old quarry. Waiting officers rush over and arrest him. Nice work, DCI Dutton.
Hey.
Once again, you got your man. DCI Pickles would be so proud.
Yes.
Now, this arrest ends Soren Berg Arnbach's 11-year run as a wanted man.
Wow, 11
After
years.
The cops, yeah, nabbed old rubber-faced man, they search his backpack, or as the British press would call it, a rucksack. Mm-hmm. And they, I have to admit, that's a much more fun word.
Isn't it?
Rucksack. I'm like, I want to call, I don't want to be pretentious.
Why
people, like,
not?
Americans are like,
who cares? Say
who are you
what
trying
you
to be, Burnett?
Be like, I'm being me, and it's rucksack.
Be like, the Germans taught it to me. Is that cooler? Anyway, so... The cops, they go tearing through dude's rucksack, and they open up, and they find a short band radio. The cops are like, oh, this looks like fun. You want to see if it works? Come on, Nigel. And they go on up, and they climb to the highest hill in the area, and they set up the short band radio. They flip it on. They listen. Nothing. They listen some more. More nothing. They keep listening, though, because they're British. And finally, after a few hours of plucky determination, the radio does indeed crackle to life. Back to DCI Evans. The radio equipment came to life, and the words, "Mother, mother, I want to come in and to get the dirt off my hands," were heard. That communication was enough. We knew there was a vessel out in the bay wanting to come in and to get rid of the drugs that were on board. So now the cops, they search the horizon of the sea. They're like, there's a boat out there.
Yeah.
So they're like, they're scanning it like someone walking the widow's walk, right?
Just... Well, if you're like, I'm sorry, but yes. if you're going to come up with code,
yeah.
No,
like the, code?
The kid is like, mother, but like, no, like you're not going to listen to a radio and hear that. You have to say something like, you know, I got like however much fish, I got all this mackerel, whatever.
A fresh load of mackerel
you know
needs
what
to
I'm
get
saying.
Off this boat. Yeah, I
it's
feel
like, you.
You
know, speak the language. language of the of
mother,
the people.
Mother, I want to come in.
Mother.
Get the dirt off my hands.
Oh, yeah, that's what kids radio their moms all the time.
On a crackly radio. Mother, yeah. Mother.
She's all, come in, over.
It's like something with like a whiskey-soaked voice. Mother, mother, I want to come in. So dark and stormy and foggy as that night was, and where they were, they could not see the boat on the horizon, right? Now, coincidentally, not long after this, 1,000 pounds of primo Lebanese hash washed up on the sandy beaches of Scandinavia.
So Scandinavia.
That's how far it floated.
It's so interesting, all the currents that would take.
Right? Yeah, I thought you'd dig that. So the cops assumed that the smugglers must have just dumped their load of gold hash at sea. Now that they had their two masterminds and their many underlings and associates, the local police, they follow the threads of this network, right? They go, oh, this has got to go lots of places. The connection, they spanned from this tiny Welsh like fishing village. They connect to London, then over to France, to Denmark, to Spain. They start going around the international real quick, right? As one local detective put it, it was a coup for the smallest police force in the country to take on the biggest drug gang at the time.
Wow. Right?
So Operation Seal Bay, phenomenal success. Way
nice.
To go, guys.
Good for them.
Now, as the cops chased leads, they also followed the money trail, right? And this led them back to the Isle of Man. And remember how I told you Boswell walked into that bank with the two suitcases?
Correct.
And remember how memorable that was?
Yes.
It was for the people at the bank,
too. I would imagine so.
So they went to the bank staff, and DCI Evans is like, hey, yeah, so you guys have anything strange you want to tell us about? We've been following bank records, and they all lead to your bank. And as he put it, quote, we asked the bank manager why he didn't think of reporting it to the authorities, and his face reddened, and he said, Mr. Evans, it's not unusual for people to come in carrying a shopping bag with 50,000 pounds in cash.
Oh, then I'm the cops. I'm like, well, I'm going to set up shop out here.
Right?
What is happening? Yeah. Well, Isle of Man, yeah.
Nigel, you're staying here. Now, eventually, the cops, they get all their charges in order. Boswell gets charged with conspiring to import large quantities of Class B drugs. During his arrest period, police kept finding hidey holes of cash while they were going through all the stuff. They found money buried under gardens and drugs hidden in smaller underground chambers. They also seized lots of his cars. They grabbed a Rolls Royce, a Range Rover, a Ferrari, his wife's Porsche. His cars, his boats, for that matter, as well, they often had hidden smuggler compartments, right? So this was all brought up during his lengthy trial in 1988. And Boswell, he had a ready answer for him. He's like, I know this looks suspicious, guys, but let me explain. And he said, and I quote, look, I'm a wealthy Englishman, so of course I'm also a bit of an eccentric. The reason why my boats and cars all have smuggler compartments is I was trying to hide Nazi gold.
Wait, what?
That's not a direct quote. I made that up.
Oh, you did? I was like,
that was his plan. He went in and he said, basically, when in doubt, Elizabeth, if you're in, you know, a certain age of England, you're like, oh, let's muddy the waters with some Nazi gold.
Wait.
People will believe it. It's kind of like what we have in California, like Spanish gold.
Yeah.
So they have Nazi gold just everywhere on this coast. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I totally get that. And Boswell, he claimed that he'd hired all these men and dug all these holes and built a secret chamber and had ships offloading trial runs for when he finally found the gold he was searching for. On sunken Nazi U-boats from World War II, right? And you see, old chap, the reason I kept it so hush-hush is because the Nazi gold may or may not have been legal to scavenge.
Oh, my God.
They're like, oh, come
what
on,
a
man.
Hobby.
Yeah, obviously, it's all been a terrible misunderstanding. Drugs. Now, the judge and jury in the Crown Court, they listened to his side of the story, and then they unanimously decided to not listen to a single word he was saying. Right? The judge, Mr. Justice Mars Jones. Can I pause for a second to say, hot damn, that's a name and a half?
Right.
Mr. Justice Mars Jones.
Mars as in the
Mars,
planet?
Mars, like as in the planet. Mr.
Yeah.
Justice. I mean, he sounds like he's a black man and he's got like one of those white wigs on. Mr. Justice Mars Jones. Now, okay, back to it. Mr. Justice Mars Jones ruled in almost record speed, guilty. Then he told Boswell, you also have lots of money of which I have no general power to deprive you. I only wish I could. Now, my man, Mr. Justice Mars Jones, he sentenced the ringleader, Boswell, to 10 years in prison.
Oh.
He was 37 at the time.
Ooh.
Gonna miss out on some of the best years of his life.
Yeah.
Now, his co-ringleader, the man on the run, the rubber-faced man, a.k.a. Soren Berg Arnbach, he gets jailed to 8 years.
Okay.
Yep, finally caught, boom. Now, Boswell, of course, being a true old money Brit, what does he do? He appeals the ruling.
Yeah.
And expecting it to go his way. He always gets his way, Elizabeth.
Of course.
After his appeals court trial, the court determined, quote, the mind boggles at what might have been happening in that lonely place as the months and years rolled by if this conspiracy had not been uncovered. So they basically, as the original prosecution stated, and I quote, These greedy schemes were brought to light because of the neighborliness or nosiness of local people, the interest and curiosity shown by decent people.
Yes.
AKA your people, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Nosy lobstermen and fishermen and farmers' daughters.
Yes.
So, there you go, Elizabeth. What is your ridiculous takeaway from this tale?
My ridiculous takeaway is if you are going to smuggle something out of Lebanon, yes, it should be white gold. And by that, I mean tomb. Could you imagine?
The garlic spread?
Yeah. Like, how much beauty you'd be sharing with the world?
Of course.
Lebanese tomb?
I don't think that's technically illegal.
No, but, you know,
I don't know.
You don't
really need to smuggle it.
Sorts of excise taxes and who knows and, you know, whatever. That's my ridiculous takeaway. Zarin, what is your ridiculous takeaway?
Whoa. Are you feeling all right?
I know. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Give me a second. It feels really nice.
Feels good, huh?
I feel heard. I feel listened to.
Yeah.
Oh, my ridiculous takeaway, Elizabeth, the rubber-faced man really disappointed me. Because like he's got this great name. You think he's going to do stuff, and all he does is just nothing. He's like, oh, I got a plan. I'm going to hide out with my buddy, and my buddy's going to dig a hole in the dirt.
Yeah, he didn't bring any of the rubber-faced
I'm like, come on, rubber-faced man.
When did he do that?
He didn't even try to get away. He just tried to walk out of town.
Yeah.
He's just like, do-do-do-do-do.
He's a disappointment.
Yeah, right? I'm a developer. Yeah, that's it. Ticket?
Mother.
Okay, so I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You in the mood for a talk back?
Yes.
Producer Dave, hit it.
Talk backs. Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
Hi, Elizabeth and Zarin. My name's Rachel. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. I love your podcast. I think y'all have such a great rapport together. You're so funny. Elizabeth, I found a mashup today while I was walking in Target. It's Native Times Girl Scout cookies. Deodorant, body wash, shampoo, etc. that smells like Girl Scout cookies. I found it highly ridiculous. I'd love it if you'd feature it. Bye!
Girl, I'm going to let you do it. That was perfect.
Why are you going to do me like
so
that?
So gross.
Oh, my God. See, now you, there you go. That's how I feel every time.
And that's what it's like to be on the receiving
yes,
end of
you
that?
You see how that is?
Huh,
you're okay. Just like, why is that pile of mess in my lap?
I like to be the mischief maker, not the mischief
taker. Yeah.
There it is.
There you go. Girl Scout. Ugh.
Just too sweet. I don't like sweet scents like that.
No. I want to smell like butter.
I want to smell like an angel's sneeze.
An angel's sneeze. Well, you can find us smelling sweet like angel sneezes online, always at Ridiculous Crime on Twitter, Instagram, and all the other socials. Maybe, who knows? Good luck trying to find us. We have a website, though, you can find us at ridiculouscrime.com. Go there, hit it up. We got all sorts of little tricks and treats for you. Also, as you can tell, we love your talk back. So please go to the iHeart app and hit us up there. Or you can email us if you like at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. As always, it's Dear Elizabeth, and then say whatever you want. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in next crime. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by the vegan leatherface man, Dave Kustin. Research is by Marissa, the drug baroness, Brown, and Andrea, the pirate queen of the smugglers, Song Sharp and Tear. Our theme song is by Thomas Shortman Radio Lee and Travis CB Radio Dutton. The host wardrobe provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben, the Welsh beachcomber, Bolden, and Noel. Notting Hill is a good movie, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents.
Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say free this week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.